We're in a series called I Quit, and this is a great series. This is week number 4. It's a series that's really about looking and establishing what a healthy church looks like. Not from a perspective, not from a place of knowing or seeing like a vision of what a healthy church, but how do we act as a healthy church? Sometimes we use these words, I quit, way too frequently and way too often, and we use them usually when times get difficult or when we're looking for an easy way out. We want to have this, it just almost seems like second nature, it just comes. When things get difficult, when times get tough. I remember when I played football, and in football season, during the heat, man, the summer is the time that guys that just walked on and guys that were not really bought in, that was the time that guys would not last and they would quit, because when things got so heated and so hard and so difficult, they would find the easy way out and say, it's too much for me, I quit. Well, we tend to do the same thing. But now as adults, we tend to do that in our relationships. We tend to do it in our marriages. We tend to do it in our employment. We do it in all these different aspects and these facets of our lives where we think, you know, we want God, we pray for God to give us a spouse, and God does, and then we quit. We pray for God to give us employment, and then he does, and we quit. We pray because we don't want to be alone, so we pray for friends, and God gives us friends, and then when things get difficult, we quit. Look, we do the same thing as a church. We do the same things as individuals and members of the church. See, remember, I talked about this. Church is not a building. The church is us. It's you. It's how we carry out the vision that God's given to us. It's how we do life together as believers. So if we're just, I'm telling you, and I say this just from a place of, I think it's important for us to know, if we're just doing life together and we just show up on Sundays, that's not a healthy church. That's not a healthy environment. If that is the level of our commitment to one another, if that is the level of commitment that we have to God, hey, it doesn't really work. See, in fact, I think this is an important fill-in that you can put on your notes. Well, sometimes we have to quit doing one thing so that we can start doing the right thing. That's where this issue comes from. You'll never stop doing the wrong thing if you don't stop or you don't quit doing the wrong thing. You got to establish what that is. Quit doing the wrong thing so that we can start doing the right thing. Another thing we need to be aware of as a church is we got to quit coming to church and start being the church. There really comes a point, guys, where we have to stop attending, and that becomes the church. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to attend as if that gives us brownie points or that's, you know, something that God's looking for. Attendance is important, but it's not because we're here in this building. It's about being together, and it's about having that commitment to one another. So when we quit doing one thing so we can start doing the right thing, and it frees us to be the people that God wants us to be. And in this series, what we're looking at is God wants the very best for us. He wants to bless you as a person, and he wants to bless you as being a part of the church. But God cannot bless us when we choose to act however we want that's outside of God's word. Outside of God's design for his church, if we act outside of God's design, God can't bless that. We can't just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be who I want to be. And God says, you know what, I just like that guy. He's just so obstinate and so, man, I'm going to bless him. You know, God really does. He blesses obedience. He blesses faithfulness. But we have to give ourselves, we have to act in a way that deserves God's blessings. Let me give you one. Proverbs 16:20 tells us this. Whoever gives heed to instruction, whoever listens to instruction prospers. And blessed is the one who trusts in God. If you want God's blessings to follow you, start trusting God. Not just when times are easy, but when times are difficult. Let God establish the pattern of your life, how you choose to live. Trust him when he tells you to do something, do it. And watch his faithfulness kick in. So, God's blessings are a byproduct of us doing what he's asking us to do and trusting him. And God wants us as a church to be healthy and blessed. And how we act as a church, okay, determines how we're blessed as a church. So here's what we've been looking at in this series. This is week number 4. The first week we looked at, first of all, we got to quit looking for the perfect church because there is no such thing. If you ever find a church that you think's perfect, don't go there because you'll jack it up because you're not perfect, right? None of us are perfect. So you can't look for a church that you think is going to be perfect. In fact, if you start looking or expecting the church to be perfect, what happens is you will stop being a church that loves and is loyal to people because you're always looking for something better. So you got to quit looking for the perfect church. Another thing is we have to quit hoping people will show up. A lot of times we just sit there and we hope that people start coming to church. We just hope. Look at hope. We talked about it. Hope is a great emotion. It's not, it doesn't call us to an action. Okay, and so we got to be careful, because if we're just hoping people will show up, then what happens is we stop being people that offer hope. We just passively sit back and hope that people will come, rather than taking the message of Jesus out and inviting our friends in. Here's another thing we need to quit. We need to quit with the partial attendance. This is, you know what? If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to look it online and listen to it online, because the partial attendance thing, we'll never experience the benefits of church when we have partial attendance to each other, to being here. We'll never experience the benefits of church if we're not committed to being here together, because we're all dependent on each other. That's what God calls us to, is a life that way. And so we have to really watch that. Here's the other thing. This week, we're starting this. We need to quit just filling in. Just filling in. Now, look, some people will say, I'm filling in. I'm just helping out, Dave. You know, that's what I hear sometimes. Not all of them. Before I get into this, I want to say this. I appreciate everybody's contribution. I appreciate everybody's service. I appreciate how everybody functions, and every single person that serves, that's involved in the quest. Man, your contribution of serving helps us as a church. That's how God designed it, which we're going to look at. We talked about this at our last business meeting, that at the quest, we're at 46% of the people that attend actually serve or are in a ministry. 46 is what we talked about. Come to find out, since the business meeting, we've moved from 46% to 57%, which is awesome. That's great. But here's the realistic look of that. If we just took a round number and we said it's 100, then we would be saying that 57 people serve while 43 don't. If you were to take that from a standpoint of how healthy does that make our church, it doesn't make it very healthy. Because almost half of the people don't serve. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people don't serve, and we'll look at that as we... But here's the deal. When it comes to serving, many people think, hey, you know what, Dave, I'm just filling in. I'm just here to help. But that isn't what God's called this church to be. God's never called us to just be a church that fills in or helps out. Not only does filling in communicate a wrong message, but it communicates a wrong message to others and ourselves. If we're saying something in a negative way to somebody else, but also we're reinforcing it by saying it to ourselves as well. It's about a lack of commitment. You might have seen this, but our culture is really caught up in this idea of what a lack of commitment looks like and just how easy it is to get out of something. That is kind of the mantra, if you would, that people just, there's no commitment. I mean, we see it, yeah, the 62% of marriages end in divorce, but we see it in a lot of different areas too, and that's kind of the thing. Hey, at the last minute, we can cancel. Where there's no real long, drawn-out commitment. So when we say things like, hey, Dave, you know what? When it comes to serving in church, I'm just going to fill in. When it comes to just serving in church, I'm just going to help out. Here's what we're saying. We're saying this, I don't want to commit myself. That's a big statement. Now let's just take this from a healthy standard, from being the church, okay? You're the church. The building's not. It's you. If God wants this church to be healthy, then he's looking for health in you. He's looking for healthy choices. He's looking for healthy decisions. He's looking for healthy behavior. Because your choices, your health, is going to make this place, all of us, healthy. So when we say, I don't want to commit myself, I get it. Sometimes we go through seasons of life where it's either work or sickness or things like that that prevents us from commitment. But listen, there's some people that don't just camp here. There's some people that live here at this point. In other words, they just don't want to commit themselves, though they could commit themselves. They don't want to alter or change their lifestyle. They're going to alter or change their behavior here so that to fit a lifestyle away from here. Another thing that filling in or helping out says is, I'm not sure I belong here. But that's another crucial or critical issue. Because basically what we're saying is, if I don't know if I belong here, then I need to keep my options open. And when I have my options open, that doesn't mean I can always be here. Here's another thing filling in says. It says, I have other things I'd rather be doing. Or maybe it's, I have other things that I could be doing. If something else comes up that I think or I deem is more important, then that's going to become the priority. We would never come out and actually say that. But what helping out really does. What filling in really communicates is a divided loyalty. Well, it really does. It says, I can't commit here because I have other commitments. That's kind of the premise of where we're at. That kind of divided loyalty does not allow us to be a strong church. It doesn't allow us to be strong individuals in the church. Ultimately, what we're saying is this, don't count on me. If I communicate, hey, I'm just filling in, what I'm ultimately saying is, hey, don't count on me. That's kind of our safety net. But I'm telling you, our greatest impact in the lives of others happens because we can be counted on. If you want to have a great impact in your kids' life, then be a person to be counted on. You want to have a great impact on your neighbors, be a person you can be counted on. There has to be a commitment there. But if you're saying, hey, you know what, don't count on me, then here's what I'm saying. If you want a significant life, a life that God has for you, a life that impacts others, then you have to commit yourself to people. You can't just say, hey, I want a significant life, but you know what? I can't commit myself. An uncommitted life, a life that says, don't count on me, will not have a great impact on people. So when we say, I'm just filling in, what it communicates is I'm not bought in. Boy, that's a dangerous place, I think, for us to be as a church, as people. Can you imagine if you said that in your marriage? How strong would your marriage be if that's what you communicated? Hey, listen, I'm just here filling in, but I'm not bought in. I don't know that your spouse would even tolerate it very long, but the idea is there is no environment. Your employer would not value that kind of behavior. That's what's so important is we have to understand when we say, hey, I'm not bought in, we're not helping ourselves or the people that we're doing life with. See, that's what's most concerning about this is just not being bought in. Jesus always asked for buy-in. In fact, he told people, he said, look, you want to be my follower? No man is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't be going this way. No man puts his hand to the plow and looks back is actually fit for the kingdom. You can't come up with excuses. When Jesus says, follow me, you can't come up with excuses because excuses communicate a lack of buy-in. Jesus was always looking for, look at 100%. In fact, you remember this story, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but Jesus is asked a question by the religious leader trying to be trapped. And the religious leader says this, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And you know this really well. Jesus replied, what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. All. He didn't say, hey, do your best. He didn't say, you know what? Just show up. He said, 100%. That's what he asked for. I'd be straight up, you know, and I say this cautiously. Maybe that's a good way of saying it. I didn't say this in the first gathering. But you know what? Maybe that's why Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are that find it. And narrow is the road that leads to everlasting life, and few are the ones that find it. Maybe it's not the size of the path. Maybe it's the size of the commitment in our lives. Maybe that's the issue that we need to address. See, here's what God wants for his church. Rather than filling in, God wants us to go all in. Rather than just filling in, God is looking for us to go all in. And Paul touches on this in the book of Philippians. Philippians 3:15, and the message reads like this. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If you want everything God has, then this is what you need to do. If you don't want everything that God has, then don't worry about it. Any of you who have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. He's saying, look at, here's what God's asking for is 100%. And if you don't get that, understand this, God is going to correct your blurred vision because that is what he's asking for from all of us. God wants a church whose heart is completely his, a church who's bought into all that God is and is healthy. So how do we move from filling in to being all in? How do you do that? First of all, I think this, because filling in and being all in is not about a job. It's not about a schedule. This is about a heart issue. In fact, that's one of your fill-ins. Being all in is a heart issue. We want to do away with anything that's half-hearted because half-hearted doesn't reflect God. It doesn't reflect what he wants out of us. Jesus dealt with this heart issue in his disciples. If you remember, his disciples, Jesus was talking about his kingdom and what it was going to be like. And what did the disciples come up with? They said, hey, in your kingdom, Jesus, can you tell us which of us is going to be the greatest? Even when Jesus is establishing what is a priority and what his kingdom is about, what are his disciples looking at? Hey, which one of us is going to be, which one sits at the right hand? Jesus, is that going to be me? Because that is the tendency of what we do. Our sinful nature is always fighting to be number one. We want to be first. We want to be important. We want to be recognized. Listen to what Jesus tells his disciples when they ask that question. He says, He sat down, he called the 12 disciples over to him, and he said this, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." In other words, if you're looking for a place of importance, if you want significance, then serve people. It's not about your position. So the importance of serving looks like this. First of all, serving deals. When we serve, serving deals with my love affair with myself. We all have it. It's our human nature of sin. When you serve, it deals with, it crucifies, it calls into account your love affair with yourself, your self-admiration. It's not that we should stop loving ourselves. It just changes our focus. We stop putting ourselves first and our needs first and start putting the needs of others first. Look, we do that all the time. We have preferences and we come to church and my preference is more important than their preference. My desire, what I want, is more important than what they want. Yeah, we all have preferences, and the idea is we all have to deal with our love affair with ourselves, and that is putting ourselves first. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, Philippians 3:2 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ did, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Remember, Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. This is an important first step. Serving deals with my love affair with myself. And here's the important first step. We'll never have the right heart if we're the priority. You want to have a right heart? You want to have a servant's heart? As the church, you want to have a heart that God can bless. That'll never happen when we're the priority. Here's another issue about the heart of serving, and that is serving nurtures a heart of compassion. And this is important because our culture is tailored for a life that is all about us. But as citizens of God's culture, compassion needs to be what people experience in us. Look at it. Colossians 3 tells us this. "You are, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion." Let compassion be the garment that you wear that other people see and experience. Wear compassion. See, at the core of compassion, at the very core of it, compassion is an emotion. Because what happens is we care about what people are going through. We actually feel for others. We have empathy for them. We're not just doing a job, we're connecting at a deeper level with people. That's what compassion does. But look, you can't have compassion if your heart's not in it. If your heart's not committed, you're not ever going to be vested to a place where you have compassion for these people that you serve. As the church, the body of Christ, we're to have the heart of Christ in everything you do, right? I mean, as Christians, as Christ followers, you're supposed to have the heart of Christ. And if you just remember, Jesus was a person that was full of compassion. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but you know this. He comes across men with leprosy, and what does it say? Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched them. Jesus goes to feed the 5,000, and he comes up on the shore, and there's all these people there. And he sees the large crowd in Matthew 14, and what does it say? What does it say? He has compassion for them. And then he sees people that are blind. And what does it say? He had compassion because God is full of compassion and he wants us to be full of compassion. But I think a lot of times when we're not committed and we see the needs of people, it becomes something that frustrates us rather than moves us with compassion. We see the needs of people and we start even getting judgmental about how they should, choices that they should make that's different. Then they wouldn't have this kind of, but we're not bought in. So we don't have this heart for compassion. Compassion moves us to serve people. In fact, I would say this as a fill-in. Compassion changes lives, and the life that is changed most is ours. Compassion will change the lives of people that you serve, guaranteed. But the lives that get changed most is ours, because God is the one, he's at work within us. God gives us all spiritual influence. Whether you think you have it or not, you have spiritual influence. But spiritual influences serves through compassion. Not through position. Spiritual influence always serves through compassion. Always. So here's another reason for serving God. Or serving God is essential. Or serving people and God. Serving makes us spend time with people. We live in a world where we are isolated more and more and more and more. We are an isolated group. And I would say more isolated than we've been in the past as a culture. We have lost the art and the heart for investing time in people. Serving makes us spend time with people when we don't want to, when we think we're too busy. Being bought in or going all in is not giving ourselves to a job. And if you're serving in the church, if it ever becomes a job, if it ever becomes a required task, you've missed the heart. You don't have the heart. You've detached yourself from the objective, and that is you've detached yourself from people and God. God calls us to spend time with people. Jesus spent time with people, obviously. You see him all through scriptures where Jesus was spending time with sinners, spending time with his disciples, always spending time with people, always. In fact, one of those scriptures, John 3:22, it says that Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent time with them. Man, you want to have an impact in people's lives? The most impactful way of loving others, of showing other people that God loves them, is spending time with them. Because time shows that you care. Time allows us to get to know each other. Time is this physical element that says, you matter, and that's why I'm here with you. If we become so busy that we can't spend time with people, if we become so busy that we can't commit to ministry, if we can't commit to serving people, if we can't commit to being on a team, I would consider this. You might want to contemplate, you might want to consider the fact that maybe we have forfeited our spiritual influence. Maybe we have given up our spiritual influence for something else, this divided loyalty. See, if we're going to be all bought in, then our heart has to be engaged in what God is doing. And here is what the heart of a servant looks like. First of all, a heart of a servant puts service over status. If you're going to be a servant, if you're going to have the heart of a servant, not just do the job of a servant, if you're going to have the heart, then it's going to put service over status. It's not about position. It's not about the position you hold. It's about the humility that you have. I want to go back to the scripture in Philippians where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. A servant, the heart of a servant puts service over status. I don't need the position. I need the people. You can tell it. I've heard this. Listen, as pastor, you know, I have other friends that are pastors, and we're not perfect, and you know that. You know, at least you know that about me, but other pastors, they're not perfect either. So, but here's one of the common phrases about the pastors will say, man, I love ministry if it weren't for the people. What are they saying? You know, it's a joke, okay? I don't expect you to laugh, but it's a joke. I love ministry if it just wasn't for the people. And what they're saying is, you know what? I put position over service. I have put status over serving. I've lost the heart. That's what they say. That's a dangerous place to live. But it's not just with pastors. This is about us as a church. We do the same thing. Look at, allow God to work humility into your life. The heart of a servant also looks like this. It puts commitment over convenience. Commitment over convenience. We need to be aware that this sinful nature that we all have is always looking for the most convenient way. Commitment puts other people first. Convenience puts myself first. In fact, let me read Romans 15 says this. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in, not step out, not step aside, step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Look, God wants his church to have the heart of a servant, like his son Jesus had the heart of a servant, who, being the very nature of God, did not take advantage of it to benefit himself. What he did was, in humility, he stepped aside to serve us. The heart of a servant also puts we over me. We see this in the early church, and I'm not going to elaborate on this, but the Acts 2 thing, which you might be aware of, is in the early church, you see that they had everything in common. They served one another. They sold their property. There was a value of putting we over me. But we see that not just in the early church. We see it in healthy churches. We is always greater than me. Another one is this. The heart of a servant also puts compassion over comfort. Rather than being motivated by comfort, God wants us to be moved with compassion. We are most healthy as a church when we reflect God. And God is full of compassion. That's what the scripture tells us. And because you are his church, listen, you personally are God's church. Let me make it more personal for you. Scripture says that you and I are the bride of Christ. That's what he's coming back for, is his bride. You are the church. And we need to understand this scripture really well if we're going to function as the church. And that's 1 Corinthians 12, 27. All of us together, all of you together is what it says, are the one body of Christ. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Now, you know, kid, you're here this morning and you might go, not me. No, you. You might say, not Dave. I'm just a guest here. I'm just visiting. No, you. If you are a believer, then God has a purpose for you. If you're a believer, then God has a plan for your life. If you're a believer, then you're a part of His church. If you're a part of His church, then you have a place and you are necessary. Not just like sometimes. You're as necessary. Let's just be realistic, okay, if we can. Because He says it's just like our body. So what happens if our body, if we decide, if your tongue says, you know what, that's it, I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't get the credit I deserve. Nobody ever talks about me. Nobody ever looks at me, nothing like that. I'm out of here. Tongue just walks off, leaves you. You know how important your tongue is? You can't talk now. If you don't have a tongue, you can't talk. You can't taste. There's a lot of things you can't do because of a tongue. A tongue is a small part of it. It's the same with the church, all of us. You might be a greeter and say, I'm just a greeter. I just welcome people. That's an important part. You might say, hey, nobody notices me. I serve babies. Dude, I'll tell you what, God notices. Every single one of us have a gift to share. Everyone, and we're all necessary. And listen, this last fill-in before we go into worship says this. As you and I, as we increase our commitment, our impact becomes greater. You want a greater impact? You want a more significant life? Increase your commitment. When the world tells you, cancel it. When the world tells you, you don't have to worry about that. The world is always encouraging us to ride the fence. But as you increase your commitment, God's able to use you in a greater way. I hope that you realize that you do have a great need for God. I hope you realize just how important God is. And I hope that you realize that what we're talking about in being the church, what we're talking about even this morning in this, when we say we choose to commit, when we choose to be bought in, we're saying, God, I choose to be bought into you. I choose to commit myself to you wholeheartedly. It's not a program. It's not just a team. It's not just whether we're on a team doing greeters or kids ministry or whatever. When we commit ourselves, we're committing ourselves to God. God designed the church to work together in serving one another together. So let me read to you some scripture just so we get an idea of this, because this is really important. The healthy church, what God is saying to us. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, then every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. I want to pause there. Just let that sink in. When we talk about the body of Christ, it says, you are Christ's body. That is who you are. Not if you want to be. This is who you are. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Wow, that puts a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't it? The tongue is an important part when the tongue is used. The heart is an important part as long as it's being used. But as soon as that part is not used anymore, it's not important. Because basically what's happening is the body starts dying. That's how important all of our part is in this. So in this healthy church, I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'll read a few of them, but not all of them, because I know that you can read later on. But in a healthy church, we are all doing our part. We're not expecting others to do what we're not willing to do or what we don't want to do. We're all doing our part. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We all have special functions. We're all doing our part. That means that you're gifted and you've been gifted and your gifts have been designed and given to you to be used in church. If you don't use your gift, people go unloved. People go unserved. That's how important it is. In a healthy church, we're focused on others, not ourselves. The job is not the focus. God and people are the focus. Church is a place that we attend church will be a place that we attend if God and people are not our focus. If we do not focus on God and people, then church will just be a place that you and I attend. That's it. It will not mean anything more than that. In a healthy church, love is our expression. Bottom line, you don't have to judge people. All you have to do is love people. That's what it's all about, loving people. But listen, loving people begins with commitment. You can't be a part of their life. You can't show up once a month. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I can't really do this because, you know, something else might come up. What you're telling the people that you're serving is you're important, just not to me. You know what? I like you, but not that much. I know that God loves you. I'm working on it. I'm not completely bought in. I know you're better than that. I know that you want a life that's more significant. And I'm telling you, listen, God designed you for that. So here's the application. Here's what we walk away with. It's one thing to have a heart of a servant, but it's another thing to have the action of a servant. What is the action? What is the one thing that you can do? Simple as this. Take a step forward towards a greater impact. Commit to a team and love the people you serve. You want to have greater impact? Commit to a team and love the people you serve. You look forward to seeing people. I come here every Sunday. Well, I'm not going to say that because it's not every Sunday, because there are sometimes I have a bad perspective too. But you know what? I'll tell you what a good day looks like. What a good day at the Quest looks like is when I show up here and I get here early, not because I'm trying to earn brownie points or just turn the air on. I get here at 5:30 in the morning and I start praying for people because people matter. I come here and I set up and I start, you know what I do? I do jobs that anybody could do, but people, part of it's my responsibility. I have not delegated or I've not given jobs out to people. Look, if you want something to do on Sunday morning, come at 7:00. We have a blower in there that we blow off all the dirt in this courtyard area and on the sidewalk and all that to make it nice for everybody. If you can do that, show up. You know, if you have the abilities and you have the gifts and you have the talent and the heart, you know, and maybe serving in Baby Quest or serving in Kids Quest we desperately need, or media, lighting, sound, whatever. I mean, look at, there's all these different areas that we have. We want to impact, we want to serve one another. What's required? Commit to a team. Love people. I'd like you to close your eyes. I want to pray for us. Here's what I just want us to walk away with. I want us to get this. Man, all of us want a significant life. I think all of us want to get to heaven and somebody come and say, man, I'm here because of you. We go, oh, no, not me. Yeah, because of you. I'm here because of you. I told you the story about, gosh, Mabel Benson. None of you should know that name. She was an ancient lady when I was a baby. She's passed away by now. But every kid that was in the nursery was her kid. Every kid in our church that went through the nursery, she prayed for them every Sunday. Every kid that went through that church, she invested in, prayed for them. She was committed. You know what? During that time, back then, it wasn't just like once a month. It was every week. When Mabel wasn't there, it was like, what's going on? Look, here's what I'm saying with all that. You want to impact lives? I know you do. You want to be a part of a healthy church? I know you do. You got to be bought in because God's bought into you. It would not be just for us to expect more of God than we would allow him to expect of us. Father, we come to you this morning not with, gosh, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for their hearts. I know that you've gifted them for significance. I know that you've gifted them because you want to use them in a very powerful way. But Father, today, as we're here, help us to be people that are not just filling in, not just helping out, but Father, committed, bought in. Father, help our buy-in, our commitment to reflect you. Because ultimately, Father, we're not buying into a program. We're not buying into activities or a job. We're buying into you, Father. We're selling out to you because we know that you want to make a difference and you want to have an impact in people's lives. And Father, that requires us. So help us to be a part of what you're doing in the lives of people. And Father, it's really easy for us in our world today to not deal with the love affair that we have with ourselves. We continually make ourselves a priority, and help us to change that. Father, may humility be a part of our lives and help us to put the needs of others before our needs. And help us to not think about what we want, but help us to think about what other people want. And Father, help us to love the people that are here. We're here today to love you and to love each other. May our commitment to one another and our commitment to you put your love on display. And Father, may we be a healthy church, a church that is blessed because you care about us. Amen.